Big Show, featuring Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, and your host, the unfiltered, unscripted, loose cannon of Knoxville sports radio, Jake Miller. The G.I. Jake Show starts now on Fan Run Radio.
Welcome in to the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake Miller, Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, intern Jack, as Tennessee baseball picks up the big win last night. You know, these midweek games, does anybody really watch them?
No, I didn't watch a single pitch last night.
If I've never heard of the school, I mean, I don't know.
Can anyone tell me where Bellarmine is? I'm going to go one by one. Jack, do you know where Bellarmine is?
Definitely in Connecticut, for sure.
Marcus, do you know where Bellarmine is?
I think it's in the south, like Tennessee or Kentucky.
Brett?
I heard yesterday, I think it's Kentucky, right?
It is Kentucky. The number two Vols hit 6 home runs and win 20-5.
Care of business.
That we did. 11 runs were scored between the 6th and the 8th inning. I mean, I guess it's good. Just get out there, swing the bat. I mean, we basically treat these like BP anyway, unless it's Tennessee Tech during a wooden bat game.
Yeah. Now you get to see some of the, you know, faces you don't normally get to see. I mean, there's so much talent, even in this, you know, second group of guys that come out there. They're still doing the same thing the first team do. Now you had a lot of the same names, Burke out there, and Amick, I think, played, but Tears played for a couple innings. So, yeah, it was good to see everybody get involved last night. A lot of somewhat new faces, you know, the pitchers especially. So, but, yeah, it was just another win.
Another win.
Get ready for the big weekend series.
Because it's going to be a huge weekend
up
in Lexington this weekend, especially knowing what happened a couple of years ago. When you go up there and you lose the series, and that was the first series that we had lost all year. I'm pretty sure it was the only series that we had lost that year. And, you know, Kentucky, out of the blue, just becomes, no pun intended, becomes a baseball school. Because nothing's going for them in football right now. Yeah. Nothing's going for them in basketball.
Yeah.
They literally hired Mark Pope, two coaches named Mark. What is their baseball coach's name? I don't even know his name.
I don't even know. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I have no need to really know, but they've definitely I guess overachieved, to say the least. I mean, they're winning ball games. I know they beat their big rival last night, Louisville, pretty easily. I think the score was like, I know they had 17-7 at one point. So, it's definitely a big series for sure.
Check it, Kentucky's baseball schedule really quick. They're 31-5 on the season, 14-1 in conference play, with series wins over Georgia, Missouri, Ole Miss, Alabama, Auburn, and now they play us.
Yeah, I mean, they've pretty much swept every series, right? I mean, being 14-1.
The only one they've lost was at Missouri, in which they lost 1-2. The first game, they won 9-4 in 11 innings, and then the game that Sunday, they won 7-6. So it's number 3 Kentucky, number 2 Tennessee, in which you have to watch on the SEC Network Plus. Now, I complained a little bit about this yesterday, and I know that the TV schedules are made before the season starts. However, when you have a series of this magnitude, you got a top 5 matchup, number 2 versus number 3, you find a way to get that on the flagship SEC Network.
Mm-hmm.
If not ESPNU or ESPN2. You find a way to make that happen. You have to find a way.
I mean, at least it's watchable somewhat. You know, typically in the past, you wouldn't have been able to watch it at all. You'd have to listen to it on the radio or, you know, so it's at least nice to have an option. Looks like they might be an A&M and Bama SEC Network. At least Thursday night, the game is at Alabama for SEC Network. I don't know if that's the case for the whole series. I would imagine so. Oh, no. ESPN2, you get Florida and Vandy on Friday night. SEC Network game that night's LSU and Missouri, a 3-12 team versus a 5-10 team in conference. That's their SEC Network game for baseball on the weekend for Friday.
Kentucky's coach is Nick Mangione.
Yeah, it's just kind of never heard of him. Yeah,
he's got a creepy picture on UKAthletics.com.
Really?
Not bad enough to get added to the list, but it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, Kentucky's middle of the pack. I mean, they're fifth overall in offense. They're fourth overall in pitching. So they don't do anything special. Like I said, LSU's near those same numbers, and you just took them out. So, yeah, you know, so you feel good. You know, you feel like you're playing well coming off the sweep win last night. So, you know, hopefully you can get off to a good start on Friday.
Absolutely. Of course, we had NBA playoff action last night as well. Zion Williamson goes for 40. Jack, you and I were both wrong on that bet.
Yeah, we were. We had like under 24 points, and
yeah,
he almost doubled that. He just, yeah, went nuclear.
He Anthony probably would Davis. Have doubled it if he'd stayed in the game.
Yeah, that was a brutal injury at the end. They couldn't. They kept it close, and then because of that, they didn't have anyone to score.
Well, at one point, they were down by a lot.
Yeah, they almost got down 18, 20 points in the third. Yeah. They were also up 12 early in the second quarter, yeah. And then Lakers went on like a 15-0 run, kind of took back the lead, and then they stormed back with Alvarado and Murphy. And, I mean, it wasn't even their main guys. Ingram, McCollum struggled last night. Yeah. Zion, he was just – he was doing it all. It was impressive, and I really think they would have won if he didn't get hurt.
He played 36 minutes last night.
Yeah, you didn't really see what he did. I mean, he scored the basket to tie it, and then all of a sudden you see him storming in the locker room. You didn't know what was going on. But, yeah, he was doing it on both ends. Like, he made LeBron take some tough shots. LeBron was getting to the hole pretty easily because they didn't have him guarding him in the first half. And second half, I mean, Bron, it's one guy he can't body through. I mean, it's every bit as physical and as big as he is. So,
He just went over top of Anthony Davis on one play.
Yeah. Went right into his body a couple times, didn't let him get his long arms up. Yeah, it was, like I said, for his players kind of playoff game, now you just got to hope, you know, that he's available come Friday, because if he's not available Friday, they're toast against the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings played out of their mind last night, in a sense. I mean, this might be the last time that you see Klay, Steph, and Draymond on the floor at the same time for the same team after 12 years together.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Used to pray for times like these. You know, growing up, you just hated the Warriors. They were just super teams, super dominant. So it's cool to see, you know, hopefully this dynasty and era ending. But, you know, it was kind of a sad way to go out. I mean, everyone knows Klay Thompson isn't that bad, but, man, that was a disaster class of a game.
That was pretty bad.
0-10, I think is what it was.
And he'd been playing well. Like, he'd been hot. He'd been one of their better players, having, like, over 25 a game, just over 50% from three. I mean, it was just shocking to see. And he missed some good looks. I mean, it wasn't like they were terrible shots. I mean, you know, I don't know. It was – I mean, I said that the Kings would probably win. I know you guys, I think, picked the Warriors yesterday. But, you know, so now you get Kings-Pelicans Friday night to see who gets the Thunder. So,
and you see, I knew there was a chance they could win. I didn't think they'd win like that, though.
Yeah.
Final score is 118-94.
Yeah. No, it was that Keegan, was it Murray?
Keegan Murray.
Yeah, man. He was hot from outside, hit 7 or 8 threes. I mean, it was – that place gets electric when they're playing well. So
it is hot in here this morning. Goodness.
Yeah, that fan ain't doing much.
No, it ain't doing much at all. We're going to be joined by Sammy Kincaid here in about 6 minutes for her weekly appearance here on the G.I. Jake Show. Why are you smiling, Marcus?
He looked at me, and we both just smiled at each other because we're friends. We're all friends in this room.
Goodness. Marcus, what did you think about the baseball game last night?
It was lovely. I watched every second of it. I do have some news for you.
What's your news?
I've eliminated one suspect, in case you're curious on the update of Detective Young.
No, we're not worried about that.
Oh, I didn't know if you wanted an update.
People have already forgot about that.
I never forget. Also, it's official. I'm a caddy. I'm really excited. Also,
are you going to be able to make it?
Marcus, you struggled to get here at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
We moved you closer to your house, and you're still rolling in at the same time every morning.
Well, because I'm sleeping in a little bit more.
Please stop.
Well, yesterday I had to wake up extremely early. It was very sad, and for work reasons, which is why I wasn't here. So I can do it. I'll be there. It's going to be early, though.
Question of the day for our audience. Does Marcus show up before or after 8:55 a.m. this Saturday?
Over-under? Over-under of 8:55?
Yes.
What happens if I get there before? Do I get like a treat or
no.
something?
No, you don't get a treat. Nobody gets treats.
A sweet
hey,
treat?
I'll tell you, for real.
It's not for us to worry about. It's for the guys he's caddying for.
Yeah, they're expecting somebody to be their lackey.
On a side note. By the way,
you have to dress appropriate.
I know, I got a tux. So I know who one of your team members is going to be.
Okay.
And it's shocking to me that Bear didn't know who he was.
You're kidding me.
He got brought up on the drive. It's been said on the air, so it's fine.
How do you not know? Oh, my God.
Aaron Medley got mentioned, and Bear didn't know. And I texted Russell immediately.
You're not kidding.
I'm not. I texted Russell immediately, and I said, take his fan card away from him. There was at least one moment he yelled at the kicker. How do you not?
He was literally the starting kicker for 4 years.
Not that long ago, right?
Yeah, not that long ago.
You know what's going to happen, too? It's going to be really funny. Bear's going to introduce himself, and he's going to just have no idea. Because he probably doesn't know what he looks like in person, either.
I get that. That's helmet syndrome.
Sure, but it's just going to be so funny. I found that out because I was, as I was studying flashcards of what clubs look like and what they are.
Irons look the same. They're just angled different.
My flashcards may not have helped me out, Jack.
Not very good flashcards.
He was probably looking at what the backs of them look like, and he's trying to determine which one's a Titleist, which one's a Callaway, which one's a Ping, which one's a TaylorMade, which one of them's an XEO, which one of them is
Range
a Wilson.
Rover.
What's that?
Range Rover.
What are you talking about?
Which one's a Range Rover?
Stay with us. Sammy Kincaid, the Fan Run OG, joins us next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on the G.I. Jake Show, right here on Fan Run Radio. Pleased to be joined by Sammy Kincaid. Jack, during the next break, you're going to have to open up that door, man. It is way too hot in here. I'm dying. I am dying in here right now. Sammy, how are you?
I'm doing good. Sounds like I'm doing a lot better than you guys right now.
Well, I wore golf polo, golf shorts, where the only thing not golf on me is my shoes, to try to get ready for this Fan Run Charity Open that we got coming up on Saturday. And right now, I don't think it would matter if I was in a tank top because this place is so hot. Sammy, WNBA draft, Caitlin Clark signs a 4-year, I think, $388,000 deal.
Yeah.
And
no.
A part of you wonders, it's like, how much can she make from endorsements? Because she did bring more eyes to the WNBA draft than had ever been on it before. So now you sit here and it's like, why would she do this? Like, you can make more money doing something else. But at the same time, you look at the endorsement side of it and it's like, okay, well, how much money can she actually make?
I mean, whenever she was in college, she was making more money than that. And she wasn't even paid anything other than her scholarship. And so she was making more through NIL. And I think that that's where she's definitely going to make her money. But whenever I saw that, it's just sickening to see what the number one player is getting paid in women's basketball versus what the number one pick is going to be making in the NBA draft. That's really tough to see, especially somebody as talented as Caitlin Clark. And I get it. The WNBA doesn't bring in as much money as the NBA, but I mean, that is a huge, huge difference. And that's a little disappointing to see that's what she'll be making. But, I mean, even if whenever you break that down per year, whenever you think of cost of living, I mean, she's going to end up having to get a second job, you know? And so, I mean, it's just really disappointing. But hopefully it brings awareness. I mean, that's what she did to college basketball, too, is she brought eyes, like you mentioned, and she brings awareness. And so hopefully that brings some awareness to just how underpaid those WNBA players are. Because if that's what she's making, imagine what somebody who's barely on the roster is making, you know?
I mean, I think it drops down to, like, I think you might be lucky to make $50,000 a year if right. you're, like, one of the basically a fill-in spot on the roster.
Exactly. So that's really tough. And whenever you're trying to chase your dream and you're trying to just scrape to survive, I mean, that's really tough. That's a tough spot to be in. And you should be living your best life whenever you're chasing that dream, you know? You shouldn't be worried about where am I going to buy groceries this week, you know? So it's disappointing, but hopefully it brings awareness.
Absolutely, because you think about this, too, and it's like, you know, in years past, it's been, well, the WNBA doesn't turn a profit. That's why they don't make so much money. They're not making money on ticket sales. They're not making money on merch sales. But here we are within 2 days, Fanatics had already sold out of Caitlin Clark jerseys for the Indiana Fever. There's going to be a lot of eyes on her first game as a member of the Indiana Fever. So now it's like if you start to see more revenue, if you start to see more eyes on the sport, advertisers see more of an opportunity to actually make a return on investment with, I mean, just her, just Caitlin Clark. Do you see the yeah. salary start to increase for the WNBA?
I would hope so. And I hope that the NBA sees that. And maybe they, I don't know, maybe they help pitch in some of it. Because something has to change. It does have to change. Players shouldn't have to go overseas to make their money. They shouldn't have to get second jobs to make their money. They should be able to play here where their family can see them. And, I mean, yeah, they can see them. I remember having some friends play overseas that I went to college with, and they'd be playing middle of the night. And it's like you never got to see them play because of the time difference. And you know that has to be frustrating for those families too. So hopefully something happens. Like I said, it brings awareness to the issue, and the players in the WNBA, they'll be able to stay here and play in America.
Absolutely. And something else to think about too with this, you know, if you skip college and you go to the G League, you're basically making $500,000 a year. And they see that as suitable. When is the last time that anybody in this room or on this call watched a G League game?
I can't tell you. Cannot tell you.
Yeah, I haven't seen one. Yeah, I haven't watched one of them.
Because, I mean, it's just not...
There's a reason why they got rid of it, right?
Oh, they got rid of the G League Ignite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they got rid of the G League Ignite. So, I mean, you're still going to have the G League for two-way contract.
Oh, you're talking about that. That's what I was thinking, another one. Okay.
No. Yeah, the G League Ignite doesn't exist. And, of course, the NBA is also dumping money into the BAL, the Basketball Africa League. And I couldn't even tell you a single person that's on that roster, yet they're dumping money into this. Caitlin Clark can make it happen. You know, why not pay her? I mean, seriously, why not pay her? Wouldn't be a bad move for anybody involved in this situation. Moving gears now to baseball, Sammy. When you look at Tennessee and just the dominating performance they had this past weekend against the defending national champions, obviously dominate the midweek game last night, looking ahead to Kentucky, a top five matchup in which Tennessee's kind of, you know, looking for that revenge factor. You know, Tony Vitello remembers 2 years ago when we went up there and lost in the rain, the only series that we had lost that year. You got to think that's on his mind. What do you expect coming out of this weekend?
You know, I think it's going to be fun. I think it was fun having a little home run derby in the midweek. And so I think that with the bats hot, I think it's the perfect opportunity to really just keep it rolling, you know. I think that was big to get six home runs in a midweek game, and especially whenever you're trying to go in. You don't want to have a midweek game that's going to tire you out. You want one that's going to energize you, and getting six homers in that game, I think that that's huge going into what's going to be one of the biggest series of the season. I don't think that he's going to be thinking too much about a couple years ago. I mean, yes, it's probably on his mind. Like, hey, I want to get this, especially we talked last week about that mindset that the Tennessee baseball team has. And that starts with him. And so, you know, he's got it probably somewhere in the back of his mind. But I think he's definitely just wanting to get the series and get the series win.
Samantha, I just want to go back to women's basketball real quick. Kim Caldwell announced her first full, I guess, coaching staff. Was that yesterday, I believe? There was some talk about, you know, she let go of, well, I guess Samantha Williams, I believe, is her name. Some people were kind of upset with that. She was supposedly this big-time kind of recruiter type. I didn't really see it, but I kind of like the fact that she's changing it up a little bit, and it's her own, you know, her own team now. I don't know if you know much about the assistants she's brought in a couple of SEC names, and then two from Marshall. What are your thoughts on the staff she's brought in yesterday?
I'm not surprised. I mean, that's what you see in any sport. Whenever a new head coach comes in, they clean house. Mm-hmm. It's very rare, very, very rare that somebody sticks around. And I get that people are upset. Yes, big in recruiting, but you're going to bring in your people. You want to be surrounded by your people that you trust, that you already know, because you got to see success, especially as with firing Kelly Harper. I mean, the bar that was set, you have to have success. You have to have your people around you. And so I'm not surprised at all. I don't know much about her assistants.
Right.
I'm interested to learn more about them, but I'm not surprised at all by that. That's just part of the coaching carousel. And you move around a bunch and you follow your head coach around. So not surprised at all.
And then just on the WNBA draft, obviously Rekia Jackson went, well, I think, fourth overall. Not surprised there. But my question is this. The interesting one for me was Cardosa and then Reese both going to the same team. Obviously, they had their battles, South Carolina, LSU, for last couple of years especially. Do you see any issue with that? I mean, I think that would be something that was discussed probably internally, but I thought that was interesting to see. Now they're going to be on the same team after, you know, all the, you know, fisticuffs or whatever you want to call it that they had. I mean, Cardosa shoving players on the LSU team just not even a month ago, it seems like. Any thoughts on that?
I think that honestly makes for better teammates. You have that competitiveness. It's going to come out. You're going to have stuff like that happen whenever you're playing against each other. But then once you're on the same team, you end up laughing about it.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's going to be any issue with that, especially they're now at the professional level. You got to act professional. So I don't think there will be any issue in that. I think it's going to make it more fun. And because of them playing against each other and being so competitive with each other, they know each other's game. It's going to make them better, too. So I think it honestly will make them better teammates.
Hey, Sammy, we had the NBA play-in start last night. We got the playoffs coming up. I was just curious if you had a dog in the fight. I know you're a Dolphins fan. Are you also a Heat fan? You have a dog in the fight, or what do you expect to come in the playoffs?
I will say the NBA is one sport. Since I grew up in Nashville, I think that I really do blame that because I grew up in Nashville. I mean, the closest you got is the Grizz, and that's 3 hours away. Never really followed NBA growing up. Once I lived in Orlando for 4 years, loved going to Magic games. It was a ton of fun.
And
it kind of
piqued
my interest a little bit. But I've never gotten into NBA. That's been one that I love college basketball, but just never gotten into the NBA.
You could always join my Celtics team if you want to.
Don't.
We got plenty of room on this train towards banner number 18.
I'll think about it, okay?
Fair. That actually kind of leads me into wanting to talk a little bit about I want to hop back to actually the women's basketball, and then I'll hop back. But is it kind of weird only having one Lady Vol kind of taken in this draft? Does it feel weird? Because I feel like a lot of these drafts, you see so many Lady Vols getting drafted into the WNBA. We feel so used to it. Kind of what you expect Kentucky with the NBA. do we kind of see that trend hopefully with this new staff starting to come back? Because it does feel like it's been a while that we've had that kind of stacked team where you see multiple Lady Vols head to the WNBA.
I mean, it's not too surprising. And honestly, when we're talking about what's going on with Caitlin Clark, I don't think anyone's going to be doing too much terrible for yourself. Yes, it's the end of that dream and the playing ball, but or maybe it's not the end of playing ball. Maybe they go overseas, you know, but I don't think that it's the worst thing, especially whenever you're going to be, unless you got a lot of support, probably going to be struggling to continue chasing that dream, to continue your playing career. So, I mean, it's not too surprising, but I mean, it's still the fourth year in a row that the Lady Vols have had somebody taken in the first round. And so I don't think it's, I think it's still exciting that the Lady Vols are still having somebody taken in the first round. And that speaks in itself. I think that it's not every single year you're going to have multiple picks. It's just not going to happen.
And then I'm going to take us quickly to the NFL. Obviously, the NFL draft is not too far away from here. Caleb Williams obviously expected to go in number one. But to make it Tennessee ties, is there someone from Tennessee that is maybe jumping up some boards that you feel like should get a good look? Maybe not first round, unfortunately, but is there someone that's heading into the draft out of Tennessee that you could see getting picked up and making an impact?
Ooh, I haven't really been looking at too much of what they've been doing in the leading up to the draft. So I've been focused more on baseball and basketball. So you caught me a little off on that.
Sorry.
I don't really know where their stock is right now, where it's looking like each of them are going. But I think you could probably see a couple of them. I mean, Tennessee has had quite a bit of success in the last couple years. I think that it's very likely you could see someone go in the second or third round. I don't think that's out of the question. First round, like you said, stretch. But I do think that it's possible to see guys climb their way up into the second or third round easily. So I think that, again, while we're talking not every single year is going to be a year where you're just loaded with picks going to in the draft, I think this might be that same for Tennessee football.
I feel
but
like
it doesn't mean that you're going to have nobody going.
Sure. Yeah, we've experienced that already. That happened once, and I never want that to happen again. Well, one of the players that I've thought about a lot was obviously Jalen Wright and what he was able to do at running back. There seems to be obviously a trend now with running backs not getting the high priority as a lot as they have in the past. And one of the teams I threw out at one point was, especially now that Aaron Jones is in Minnesota, I could see Jalen Wright fitting in almost perfectly with a team like the Green Bay Packers. A team that likes to use a couple running backs. They have Dylan there still, and I think he's one of those guys that could be like an Alvin Kamara, one of those guys in the second, third round that just goes out there and plays great.
Yeah, no, I could see him for sure going in the second round, and I just pulled up a mock draft, and it has him going to the Browns in the second round. Would not be surprised by that, to see him go that early. The same mock draft has Milton going to the Chiefs in the fifth, which I think would be fantastic for Milton to
learn from
be
the
behind.
Best.
I think that would be great for him to be behind and learning from, like you said, one of the best. So I would hope to see maybe a couple of guys sneak in between that second and fifth round. I hope that that's not the only one in the second and then jumps to the fifth, sixth, seventh, but I could definitely see Jalen Wright going in the second.
I like to call them the team that should not be named because Brett gets too excited when they get brought up. So they're kind of my Voldemort.
Don't start.
They're
please
my
don't
Voldemort.
Start. Don't start. Don't start during an interview. Sammy, last question before we let you go. So the Fan Run Charity Open is this weekend at the Williams Creek Par 3. Of the golf resumes in this room, Marcus has disqualified himself. He only wants to be a caddy.
Yeah, I'm going to be the best caddy.
Jack, are you playing?
I'm not playing.
You are not playing. Okay, so it's me or Brett. I've been playing golf since I was 5 years old. Brett, how long have you been
probably
playing?
Probably about the same, but I haven't played a lot recently.
I have played once in the past 2 years. Brett, when's the last time you played? Mm,
probably pretty close to the same.
Who are you taking? You taking me or are you taking Brett?
There's no wrong answer.
I don't like how this is sounding.
We should be on the same team, but we're not even on it. We're enemies this weekend.
I was originally going to go with Jack because you started with how you said that you started playing when you were five, and then he hasn't really played much. And I was like, oh, beginner's luck.
There you go.
But it sounds like you
still
both
pick
haven't
Jack.
Played much.
Like, golf is one of those things, though. It's like you have to pick that up early on in life, because if you don't, it's so much harder to learn once you get into your 20s, into your 30s. And if you try to start playing by the time you retire, you might as well just go fix a cup of coffee and sit on the couch, because there's not much you can do for you.
Hey, I think that y'all should just you have a caddy. So I think y'all should just make sure your caddy also has a cooler and y'all can just enjoy the day. How about that? I think that's probably what's going to be the best plan for you two with how much y'all have played in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
Jack.
Good idea.
You heard that, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so your job is to pick us up a 24-pack of Michelob Ultra or White Claw and get me about two Cohiba Red Dot cigars.
Easy.
And you can write it off on your taxes. Sammy, thank you so much for your time. Tell us where to find you on Twitter.
I keep it real simple, guys. Just my name, Sammy Kincaid, SamiKincaid.
Sammy, thank you so much for hopping on. We'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
That is Sammy Kincaid, the Fan Run OG, making her presence felt here on the G.I. Jake Show. Guys,
by going to Fan.
What did you do, Marcus?
I have no idea.
That's what it did to me yesterday. I'm telling
you.
You
were supposed to stay quiet. That way I can make it look like you did
sorry.
It on purpose.
I don't know why I did.
Well.
Goodness. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio. Segment of hour number one here on the G.I. Jake Show. It's Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, intern Jack. Guys, join the 37 Club today at fanrunradio.com/the37club. Be a part of the exclusive community that we have on Discord. Be a part of getting free merch every single month with that premium membership. $24.99 gets you a free shirt each month along with discounts at the merch store, so you get exclusive privileges that not everybody else can get. FanRunRadio.com/37club. Go sign up today. All right. So, Marcus, you inspired this next one.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Okay. So, Bear did not know who the starting kicker was from not that long ago.
Yeah. He got called out on it.
That's awful.
He kind of like was acting like, you know, that he did know what was going on, and then Russ and Houston, I think, sniffed it out.
How many starting kickers can you name from this century?
Oh. I can name a few.
Matter of fact, tell me the starting kicker from this past year.
Campbell, right?
No. Yes.
Yeah, because it was Charles Campbell.
Yes.
That's close. Obviously, we got McGrath.
Yep.
The beautiful man that he is with that wobbly kick.
The knuckleball.
I'm going to go a little out of order because I can't go in order right now. Obviously, we had Pilardi.
Mm-hmm.
He did both, right?
Yeah.
Did he punt, too? Yeah.
Well, he punts in the NFL.
Well, yeah, but he did both here.
Yeah.
I heard a guy tell me he wanted to throw him in the Tennessee River.
Aaron Medley. I wouldn't. I thought Pilardi was actually pretty decent.
There was one in between Pilardi and Medley that had to come in when Pilardi got hurt.
Oh,
it was on homecoming in 2011.
Homecoming. What team did we play?
Who did we play for homecoming that year? Oof. It was a nobody.
What year is that? That's like.
They've been 2011.
Wow.
They had to call the fraternity house.
Oh yes. That's who I was thinking at first, but I wasn't sure. It begins with a B.
Yes.
Not Baronis.
That's it.
Is it
Brodus?
Derek Brodus.
Whoa! Incredible. Oh.
Can you tell me who the kicker was before Michael Pilardi? It's etched in our brains forever.
Daniel Lincoln?
Or is that? Yes, actually.
I met him once. Nice guy. I felt bad for him.
And people always forget about this guy between Lincoln and James Wilhoit. Now, granted, he only kicked 4 field goals.
Yeah.
But he was our punter more so than anything.
I feel like I'm still missing.
Yeah, I got another one in my mind that's more recent.
What's that?
Brent Samaglia?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that he transferred. That's why I forgot about them.
He was tatted up. He had some aura around him.
He went to Georgia Tech, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he did.
Yeah. Man, that's a shame I forgot him.
I think he went to Page High School. There.
Yeah, that fraternity kicker situation, that was wild.
I mean, he was doing a great job until he missed the extra point against Florida in 2012, and then the whole season just turned around right after that. Everything was going great.
I'm a big fan of kickers. And here's the reason.
Can you tell me the kicker before Daniel Lincoln?
Oh, here, hold
50-yarder to beat Florida. Has a kicking camp. Can anyone tell me?
Come on, Brett.
Missed the extra point, then drilled a 50-yarder with some extra leg.
Get in your bag, Brett.
So he's before Lincoln?
Number 25.
Did you already say him?
He has a camp that he does every year.
Are we sure we didn't say it already?
Did you not say Wilhoit? Is that
That's it.
I thought we said
Wilhoit.
And then the last one, this kicker started his career in 1999 up to 2002. Can anyone even guess it?
For what years?
99 to 2002.
I was just being born, man.
What are these things? What are these things that are holding this?
Walls, Alex Walls.
Yes.
And then it was Jeff. I even said the greatest one, though.
Jeff Hall.
Yeah, or Bexford before him.
Yeah.
I remember the older guys. They were you know what Jeff Hall, most clutch kicks in ball history, right?
Florida, 98. Well, in
Syracuse to start the season.
Yeah.
In the dome against McNabb.
Jeff Hall does not get enough credit for that season.
He had some big ones.
He saved us a couple times.
Yeah.
Let's get DR Vol in here next. What do you say, DR?
What's going on, man? It's funny you mentioned Daniel Lincoln. He's on my list.
He's on your list?
I have a list. And it's nothing personal. It's just sports hate. It's not personal hate. But I have a list of people who played for Tennessee that I hate, and he's on there.
I will say he is a nice guy, but, yeah, I feel bad for him. I mean, I get it. He kicked low way too often.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he looked like he was aiming for the back of somebody's head in that Bama game, 09.
Yeah, that's what people...
And again, it's nothing personal.
That was a penalty. He took his helmet off after. Was that... what was that guy? Terrence Cody. Yeah.
The biggin.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah,
man,
that
was frustrating.
That game, I was permanently banned from someone's house. I was invited... My friend invited me over to his brother-in-law and sister's house, and the brother-in-law had a friend that 3 years prior was a Tennessee fan, and I knew that, so I already didn't like him going into the game. And he missed that kick. He pulled the hat off, so he got to protect that A. I slapped that out of his hand. It was on. I mean, I was like 19 or 20, no kids, nothing lose. Knew my dad bailed me out. I was ready to roll. But he will say I never watched another game with him. Speaking of people you hate, so Jake, going to wear the jersey when the Hibachi Heat come to town?
Buddy, I will not be a Miami Heat fan if that happens.
He won't make it long.
No, hopefully he'll just be bounced around, go to the G League, and flame out.
God, I hate him. I hate him so bad. He's one of my top sports villains. I hate looking at him.
Well, he's on the list of ugly people. Jack, would you like to read us the list of ugly people in sports?
Oh, boy, yeah, here we go. I got you. Let's see. We got Zach Edey. We got Jonas Adu. Mark Pope, obviously, on there. We got Spencer Rattler. We got Weaver from Texas, the basketball dude. Billy Napier, Derek White, and Jason Day, Masters shirt.
You need to add Rex Chapman to that, too. I've always thought that man was hideous, even when he had hair.
I mean, even his 2K picture, like the – little mock-up they do in NBA 2K of him is ugly. Yeah, go ahead and add Rex Chapman to the list.
All right.
Yeah, Matt, I don't know if I can say that on air. So this golf tournament, man, I wish I was there to do it. I suck at golf, but I always enjoy going just to drink beer. Is there going to be beer drinking going on?
There's going to be beer drinking. There's going to be cigar smoking.
God, I'm jealous.
And you're going to see the best caddy ever with me being
there. You're not even going to be on time.
I think I will. I'll be there before all of you. How about that? I'll sleep on that golf course.
see, Marcus, like, it's like golfing is like vacation. Like, it, the rules don't apply to what time you start drinking. So the earlier you get there, the earlier you can start drinking.
Ooh, that's a good point. I'll be there at 6 o'clock in the morning, baby.
Jeez.
I don't advise that. I've done that once. I don't advise anybody else to do it.
Well, guys, honestly, that's about all I got. I just had to see where how true of a Miami Heat fan you're going to be, Jake, when y'all draft that big freak. Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate the phone call, DR.
See, that's kind of what I'm worried about, that like even though people are talking about him going early, if he gets drafted by Boston, I'm going to have to support him.
Boston's not picking to like 30. He's not going to be there at 30.
No. You say
he's
that.
He's borderline top 10.
You say that, but like J.J. McCarthy's being talked as a top 10 pick, who, and he does not belong in the first round.
Well, think about
J.J.
it this
McCarthy
way.
And Zach Edey are a little different.
How are they different?
Because J.J. McCarthy can actually play his position. He won a national championship.
Let me put it simply. I can save this for my segment. I can get deeper into it. There's game managers, and there's a guy that literally just has to be there, and that's what he is. He just has to be there. He's a lower level rung of a game manager.
Marcus, I do agree with you in a sense, because when you really think about it, how many times did Michigan really throw the football?
Well, it's not just about that. Let's break it down by position. Think about the NFL quarterbacks right now who were either part of bad teams and outperformed, or really great teams and still outperformed. I think the best example is Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was on a stacked team, and he was just as stacked in his stats.
I feel like all quarterbacks are game managers. Did Mahomes not just game manage his way to a Super Bowl championship? Did he do anything spectacular? Wasn't it a lot of dink and dunk, looking what the defense gave him, game managing all the way through? Brock Purdy did the same thing. He's not a game changer. Couldn't McCarthy go in and
manager.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not a bad thing to be a game manager.
Well, when you think of game manager, it's a guy that's going to like hopefully not lose you the game, but he's not the guy that's going to win it for you.
I'm not so sure Lamar Jackson needs to turn into more of a game manager. He cost them their game against the Chiefs.
No.
I mean, I'm just saying, like,
Sneed.
It's almost better to be a game manager in the NFL these days than it is just to be out there winging it and just letting loose.
No, I disagree.
Why?
You want to have a guy that can like that can be
name
your
a quarterback that's
factor.
Successful right now that's doing what you're talking about that's not a game manager.
I understand
Joe Burrow
what
right off
saying.
The bat. What I was saying.
Mahomes, I can see why you'd call him a game manager, but he still has those plays.
He does if the defense gives it to him. But he wasn't doing that in the Super Bowl. He's not throwing the ball 50 yards downfield.
That's fair.
There's no big shots down
about,
the field.
You're talking about
he didn't
one
do it
game.
Against the Ravens. He like didn't do it against the Bills.
He did it all year. He had to be the guy all year.
Marcus, he was like. Not even the top 10 for yards passing, right?
But it's not even just about passing. It's about being able to make the plays that's going to get you the win. It doesn't matter
well, that's
about
what he did. That's a game manager,
no,
right?
No, no. When you think of a game manager, the idea behind a game manager is somebody who...
What did Tom Brady do his whole career besides the 1 year with Randy
different.
Moss? Why?
A game manager is a guy that you put in there. Joe Milton was our game manager.
Okay.
You hope he doesn't
he was
lose
terrible
you a game.
Out.
You hope he doesn't lose
Marcus,
you a game.
You've yet to give me a name.
You can't
you've
predict.
Yet to give
I
me
have.
A name.
I said Joe Burrow.
That's it. One out of 30 quarterbacks.
I think Patrick Mahomes is not a game manager.
You're
I don't
crazy.
Know where you're talking
you're
about.
You're crazy.
I think Lamar Jackson's not a game manager. I don't think Josh Allen is a game manager.
You know what? I can't wait to continue this conversation
we'll
in the next
about
hour.
This, in my segment.
This is going to be great. Stay with us. Hour number one of the books. Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.